This is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk the Town number is 395-1450, and we have some guests in the studio today. We have some people who wrote a book called The Black Angel of Death, or pardon me, The Black Angel of the Lord. And the novel is by Norman and Lynn Reed, and good morning to Norman and Lynn Reed.
Good morning.
And a very interesting book, and I just glanced through it, but I'm going to read it. I wonder how you took a portion of biblical history and wrote a story about it when you weren't there.
Well, it was not easy. It took about 3.5 years of research.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately for us, modern equipment has made it a little bit more convenient. We can get on a complete computer for hours and search and find all kinds of material that might not have been exposed to people years ago. Thankfully, that knowledge was there, even though it did take a long time to assemble.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, how did you enter into this?
Oh, at the time, we had this long-distance marriage. Norman was still living and working in Chicago, and I was here in Zealand. And he came in one weekend, and he said, "Honey, we're going to write a book." I did not believe it because this was not his career area,
mm-hmm.
and nor mine. But as the weeks passed, I saw that he was just driven by it. And he would come in with notes and notes, just yellow tablets full of notes, handwritten. And he hooked me. He got me into it. I would make sense out of those notes, put it into the computer, and he'd come back the next weekend with more notes. We'd review what we had in the computer at that point. It just continued like that.
Hmm.
It was hard work, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But how did you get the germ of the idea to write this book in this period of time?
Well, actually, I was looking at a television program. Actually, I was just walking around my house. At the time, I was employed. It was before I retired. And I saw this program where they were talking about Jerusalem and the arrow that they found near the city, which was in the time zone of a particular war that the people of Jerusalem was having with the Assyrians, and to find a mysterious arrow there that coincided with that particular era was a little bit unusual.
Let me interrupt you here. I have a phone call on here. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Hi. Who is your guest this morning?
My guests are Norman and Lynn Reed, R-E-E-D.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, continue with your story.
And after I discovered that this was a very, unusual thing, I figured in my mind somehow that I could probably figure out how that arrow got there. And believe me, it was just like a mustard seed. It just got into my mind and my soul, and I could not rid myself of it. It just kept digging and eating at me, and I just kept looking and trying to find answers. I would wake up early in the morning, and I would think that, this is what I need to write this down, and maybe I can eventually solve this problem. And the more I wrote down different sheets of paper, notes, what started out as notes wound up being sheets and sheets of paper. And I I just figured, at the time I hadn't told my wife, but then I accumulated so many sheets of paper, I said, this could be a novel. And so let me go up and tell my wife. Every weekend I would go up. but I did not mention anything about this because I didn't think it was going anywhere. Now it was so much, I just figured maybe I better tell her about this. This could be a novel. And so I did, and we started working on that. And she was so busy with a lot of other stuff that she didn't do a lot of the research. But I just broke my back with the libraries up here, the libraries in Chicago, and all the time that I wasn't working, I was on the internet searching through history, mm-hmm. trying to find out why that arrow was there. And I came up with a story that kind of explains what could have possibly happened to make it possible for that arrow mm-hmm. to be found there at Jerusalem. We have a portion of the Bible that says that it was King James 2. I can't remember exactly what verse, but I think it's 26, where it says that an angel from the Lord came down and slew the Assyrians overnight. And that seemed to be more of a myth or fairy tale or a miracle to some people, but not something people could think about, because a lot of people don't realize what do you mean when you say 185,000 people. That's enough to populate Holland, Hudsonville, and several other communities, but in one night. So it would have been quite a feat, but I explained this whole thing in this book,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the people that have read it said, you did explain it.
Well, possible explanation, yep.
I'm wondering how you came up with the names of the period.
Many of the names are historical.
Yeah.
In the events also. But, of course, it is a fictionalized account, what might have happened there in Jerusalem in 701 BCE. But, he got creative. I think Norman picked all of the names that were not already historical mm-hmm. figures. And it really came from his research, I think, getting a feel for the sounds of the names as he read and read and read. The research also covered topics like the weather patterns through the millennium, and the topography around Jerusalem, and the cultures, the Assyrian culture, the Hebrew, Egyptian, and African cultures. He had to know that really well. And then the things that really impacted the storyline, I had to read also to get to get that into your bones,
mm-hmm.
what life was like for these folk.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to add one other thing to that. People ask you, this is fictional? Just like I think you kind of get the idea it's fictional. It's not really real. But then they turn around and say, where did you get your information? Is it real? And so if it's fiction, why do you care? But... Actually, at least 75% of this book is pretty accurate to the people that lived during that period of time, who they were, and what was going on in the world, where was the world, how did African people live, how did people from Jerusalem, who were they? All of that is in the book,
mm-hmm.
so it's not a lot of made-up fiction. It's the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we have a lot of characters in the book, which is why we...
looking through that, I noticed that.
Yes. That's why we included that all of the names and what their position or who they were, just very brief. Also how to pronounce the names, because as you read, oh, here's another new character. And many of those characters play a very small role in the story,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard not to give them a name.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying that man. So we named a lot of our characters, even though they're have a very small role in the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must have done research on this for years.
Yes, it was. Over 3 years.
Yes.
And it probably was fun. To a degree, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it kept me occupied, I tell you that. But when it was over with, I really felt really good about it. I felt like we had did what we set out to do. We wound up with a manuscript of 600 and some pages. And when we went to a publisher, he says, "You got to be out of your mind. I'm not going to try to publish that."
That's true. They could not believe the size.
You're not even writers. How can you come up with something like this? So
that's pretty good. Pretty good.
We broke that down from 600 and some pages, 185,000 words to less than 100,000 words. But right now, I think it's a little over 100,000 words. But can you imagine after all that research and hard work, now you got to put another 2 or 3 months in trying to decide what comes out and what stays.
Yeah, and there was so much information, and being new at this, it was very difficult to call out what we didn't need. We thought it was important initially, but the publisher just shakes his head and he says, "Uh-uh, you know, you got to slice this down. You've got to cut back on the words." And that was so hard.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was very difficult. And it was more difficult than the last part of the writing. I wasn't feeling well for a good year and a half of that time. I was fighting cancer, actually, and it was like pulling teeth for him to get me up and motivated to sit down and do the writing. But seriously, cutting back on the words was more difficult, I think, than that.
Yeah.
But we did it.
Yeah. And you came up with a product.
We came up with a product, yes.
Well, when he was talking about the cutting back and the size of the book, everything is done by dollars these days. If you're going to print a book that size, you better be somebody well known. If you're not known, you want to sell your book at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
So you can't come up with that many pages and sell it at a reasonable price. You got ink, you got paper, you got the press that's going to print it. So you got to do it within somewhere where a person will say, "Well, I'll check the book out, even though I'm not really that crazy about reading something by an unknown author." But that's one of the ways you can help it to sell, is not to have a very large book and you're not known. So
now you talked about this book a couple times already in the area, have you not?
Yes.
In libraries?
Mm-hmm. At Zillin.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Miller Library.
Right.
Whoops. Howard Miller Library in Zillin and the Gary Biker Memorial Library in Hudsonville.
Oh, yes.
And we're scheduled to speak in February at the Laudette District Library in Grand Haven. We're also going to be appearing at Schuler Books on 28th Street in Grand Rapids on September 30th at 7 in the evening. And I believe October 16th, we're scheduled to speak in Evergreen.
Oh, at 1 o'clock.
At Evergreen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take time out here for a good word, and then we'll be right back with our guests. If you have questions, 395-1450. When a shoemaker calls their shoes Dr. Comfort, you know they must be special. Dr. Comfort shoes are made for people with diabetes. Medicare may cover the cost of Dr. Comfort footwear. Find out more at Paul's Pharmacy. They'll make sure you get a shoe you're happy with, and they do all the building. Paul's Pharmacy on Lincoln Avenue, just south of 32nd Street in Holland. All right, we're talking to a couple of people that are talking about a book called The Black Angel of the Lord. And it's a story of ancient Bible times, and real ancient. I don't know how they went back that far so easy. Well, it wasn't easy, was it?
No, it wasn't.
I should mention that Norman has a daughter that has been on the program a few times as a an employee of the Spectrum Wellspring program. So, yes. Oh, yes. Pardon me. All right. Norman and Lynn. All right. Have a daughter that has been on the program, and that is Melissa Camara-Liggins. All right. Yes.
Yes.
And I understand she's gone on to further in the Spectrum organization.
Right. Yes, she's in Grand Rapids at Corporate Spectrum.
She'll probably run across my name some of these days. It's been quite frequent lately. All right.
She enjoyed her time when she would come here.
That's good. That's good. And she, when I met her, she didn't have any children.
Oh, that.
And now she has two children.
Yes.
So, wow. Great. All right. Where did you get the cover idea for this book?
Oh, that's pretty much Norman's idea, but it was a collaborative effort.
Well, we have a cover designer that works for Principia, which is the publishing company.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if I may interject, it's Principia.
Oh, I said Principia. It's Principia. It's spelled the same way and pronounced a little different.
Mm-hmm.
well, he worked with the director of Principia, which was Dirk Weiringer, and Dirk had me send pictures that was related to the story to him to look at. And I had sent him, but believe me, I got to be
Let me interrupt you there. I've got a call. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yeah, I was just wondering what period of history, as far as Israelites are concerned, after they came back from Egypt, or...
Oh, yes.
What about the period of time? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. All right. What part of history, biblical history, are we talking about?
We're talking about 701, the climax of the book, 701 B.C., and that was when the Assyrians had Jerusalem under siege.
In the Bible, here, let me say this. 2,700 years ago, the people of Jerusalem awakened and discovered thousands of Assyrian bodies outside their walls. How did that happen? An event that changed the world forever. If the Assyrians had conquered Jerusalem, Jesus Christ wouldn't have been born. Modern Christianity as we know it would not exist unless God found some other way of bringing his word into the into mankind. But as it had stood, as it stands now, if Jerusalem had fallen to the Assyrians, we would not have Christianity. And do you imagine what the world would be like without it? King James Version doesn't go really much into it. Just said that the angel came down and slew these Assyrians. Well, our book fictionalizes how that event could have happened. How could an angel from the Lord come down and kill these people? Can there be a physical story behind that incident? And that's what we worked real hard to prove, that it could have been done. It could have been a physical incident that destroyed these people and changed the history of the world.
Yeah.
And that miracle was actually done through man. That's what we talk about here. Getting back to the cover of the book, Dirk, who's the director of Principia, noticed some of the pictures, and he said, Norman, what about, let's work with this picture. He liked it, the helmet. He liked it, a different background. So we took all of these different things, this dark, gloomy-looking background, this desert-looking area, and we put this Assyrian-like helmet on it, and
we're talking about destroying 185,000 human beings.
Yeah.
So let's make the book reflect that. And it already had this name, the Black Angel of the Lord. So now we have this cover that's going to mystify people and make people attracted to it. Oh.
That's right. Got another call here. Yes, you're online with our guest.
Where can the book be purchased, and what's the name of it again?
It's called The Black Angel of the Lord, and it can be purchased through Amazon. You can go to our webpage, which is normanandlynnreed.com. And,
Reed, R-E-E-D?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. It'll be in all the big bookstores.
It is. It's available in any bookstore, but not on the shelf.
Uh-huh.
You go and ask them if you can get it, and they can get it for you.
Okay.
Shula has it on the shelf.
Oh, yeah. Shula does have
it on the shelf.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Okay. 395-1450, if you'd like to give a question to our guest on The Black Angel of the Lord, a book that they worked on for a long, long time. And how did you work together? Pretty well? Let me get this call. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Good morning, Duke and Lynn and Norman. This is Jane calling. I'm calling to tell you how I'm doing on your book.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. I've progressed a little further since we talked, and I was reminded of how there were really strong women in the Bible, and there's a strong woman in your story.
Oh, yes. She's a main character.
So that was just a reminder to me, I guess, of, you know, other strong women in the Bible and in the history, you know. So wanted to comment on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing that point out.
Thank you.
Without her, there just wouldn't be that the story wouldn't be. Of course, without any of the three main characters, the story wouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Did you have another question?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
But I'll talk to them later when I finish the book.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right.
You know what? I thought that when I talked to one gentleman that read the book, he said the church is either going to love you or they're going to hate you for writing this. And so we did have a minister, at least one minister, and other people that's involved in the church read it just to see what their take on it was. Would you tell them how some of the people responded?
Well, the one in particular comes to mind. He really enjoyed. Those were warfaring cultures.
Yes.
And he enjoyed the war scenes, the battle scenes. And I was surprised. There is some sexual content in this book. I thought that would bother him, but that didn't bother him. I found that interesting. The sexual content is not specific and in detail, but it occurs. And with one of our characters, it's part of his personality in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give it away, but that aspect of his personality, his character, was crucial to the story. And he actually is one of the true historical
mm-hmm.
individuals whose story we're telling. But
we don't have much time left, but
okay.
I want to talk a little bit about how you two got together.
Oh.
Oh, well, we were both alone, and he was widowed, I was widower, and, well, we met. He was in Chicago, and I here, and what is it, eHarmony.com? They do pretty good.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Anyway, we had this separate marriage for like 3.5-4 years, where I was here and he was down in Chicago. After this book started, he moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult because that interim time when we had the long-distance marriage prepared us a lot. I don't know if we would have survived if we'd been, boom, together.
Oh, really?
Seriously. You know, you get into your own way when you're alone.
Right.
You make the decisions and you set the schedule.
Yeah. We did have a hard time writing the book, though.
We did.
We had a hard time. She came down with cancer right in the middle of this. And now she's sick, and she's trying to keep up her duties with the corral, and she's keeping up with...
Yeah, I sing with Kelling and Evergreen Corral. And I didn't want to give up the Bible study. I didn't want to give up my book club. I didn't want to give up...
And we're out of time for today.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We've been talking about the book, The Black Angel of the Lord, by Norman and Lynn Reed. Thank you very much for being our guests here on Talk the Town.
Could we give the website?
Thank you.
The website? Oh, you gave the website.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.